Today, if you don't mind, we want to talk about prostitutes. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zenner with my friend and fellow laborer, Dan Sheridan. We're going to talk about the prostitute, the ultimate prostitute in the book of Revelation, the secret of Babylon. Babylon is an actual city. Let's give a little history of Babylon. The first world capital was what?
Chicago?
No. Try again. Go a little farther east.
Farther east.
Yeah.
Dearborn, Michigan?
No. No, a little farther east.
Shinar?
Yeah, Babylon. You're getting, Babylon. Yeah, in the plains of Shinar.
Okay.
This was the Babylonian kingdom headed by our friend Nebuchadnezzar.
He used
to be
in
Chicago politics.
What about Nebuchadnezzar? Nimrod?
He doesn't count.
He don't count?
No. Wait a minute. Yes, he does count because he was actually, it was the Tower of Babel, so that's where he was.
That's right.
He was in the same location. What is it about that real estate out there? I mean, that's where the Garden of Eden was, the Euphrates and the Tigris and the Euphrates River at the intersection there. And that's exactly the plains of Shinar. That's where Babylon is. That's where, who's that crazy guy out there, Saddam Hussein? That's where his palace was, right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And we now have a military presence in Babylon. My point being that Babylon is the only world capital that there ever will be besides Jerusalem.
Hmm.
People spiritualize this away. Why don't you... We're talking about the secret of Babylon. Let's read the pertinent passage here, and then we'll discuss it.
All right, in Revelation 17:3, we got to start with verse 1, right?
Yeah, you might as well.
Yeah, and one from among the seven messengers who have the seven bowls came, and he speaks with me, saying, "Hither, I shall be showing you the sentence of the great prostitute."
I told you we're going to talk about prostitutes.
Right, who is sitting on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth commit prostitution. And those dwelling on the earth are made drunk with the wine of her prostitution. And he carries me away in spirit into a wilderness. And I perceived a woman sitting on a scarlet wild beast, replete with names of blasphemy, and having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was clothed with purple and scarlet, and gilded with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a cup in her hand brimming with abominations and the uncleannesses of her prostitution, of her and the earth. And on her forehead is written a name, secret, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and the abominations of the earth.
Wow. That's pretty serious stuff. None of this has happened yet.
No. I was taught it was a Catholic church.
That's what I was taught.
You believe
taught.
That?
No, yeah, I do
and
believe
I was,
it.
You know what I was asked?
What?
How is the Catholic church the mother of idolatry and abominations?
Yeah. Babylon existed.
The Catholic Church didn't start until...
Exactly.
You know, so this goes way back. Now, notice it's the mother of prostitutes and abomination. So this is the source of idolatry.
Yes.
The very fountainhead of it.
And didn't it start with the Tower of Babel,
exactly.
Right? That's where it started, because it was the humans' attempt to take the things of God by illegal means, usurping God, preempting God. And as I said, Babylon was the world capital of the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar. It was also the capital of the Medo-Persian Empire under Cyrus, and then it was the capital of the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. There have only been three world capitals, and they've all been headquartered in Babylon. Guess where the fourth world capital is going to be?
St. Louis.
No. I thought Philadelphia, but no.
It's Sri Lanka?
No, it's close. I was thinking Paris at one time.
Babylon?
Yes. Ding, 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 ding. Tell them what he's won, Johnny. You've won an all-expense-paid trip to the plains of Shinar. This is not a place you want to be, though, when the hell comes down.
No.
Because Babylon's going to grow into such an rich, opulent city that it's going to own the other governments. What did A. Enoch say? You read a quote to me the other day that when the time comes when money will rule governments.
Yeah.
When money is above kings, and that's what we're seeing here, then you know that the end is near. Look at verse 18 of that chapter, Dan, in chapter 17. And the woman whom you perceived is the great city which has a kingdom over the kings of the earth.
Don't add any more explanations. God has explained it here. The woman is not a church. It's not the Catholic Church. It's a city. A great city which has a kingdom over the kings of the earth. Do you know how many commentaries I've read that explain the explanation?
Exactly. That's what they do.
God told you what it is. It's a city.
He told you what it is. It's a city. And it has control over the other kings because of its wealth. Now, Israel was Jehovah's wife. And her blessings and all the sustenance she had were supposed to come from him
exactly.
and him alone. She sold her soul to other lovers.
That's right.
She joined with the other nations, and God, of course, prohibited that.
They leaned on Egypt.
They wanted to go back to Egypt. They liked anything that had to do with their temporal blessing. It's like people vote today with their wallet. They only want to know, where's my next meal coming from? They just want that short-term rush, and that's what Israel wants, and she'll sell her soul to get it. And if God delays in his blessings, then they're going to get it by some other way. Now, the Messiah came to bless them and take them into the kingdom, but he came as a lowly human being, and they shunned him. In fact, they killed him. So now they're estranged from him, right? And they're in waiting, as you say, and we say that this the administration of Israel is on pause right now. But while it's on pause, they are not going to wait for him to bring them the ultimate blessings. They're going to find other lovers right now during this administration, and they're going to give her the delights and blessings which she craves. These other nations are going to give Israel all the riches that she wants and is not currently getting from God. So they're going to preempt God, and they're going to commit prostitution. This is what stunned John when he's seeing this vision, is that the woman was riding on a wild beast, which figures the kingdoms of this world.
Mm-hmm.
What stunned him was Israel, the woman, was joining the wild beast to become a conglomerate. That was unheard of. You're supposed to not even go into the home of a man of the nations.
Right.
Israel was supposed to be separate. Here, they're making pacts. They're signing deals. And Israel's buying up everything that the nations have. And by the wealth of the nations, she's going to suck all the wealth of the nations up. And she is going to become the wealthiest on the planet. And it's all going to happen in Babylon.
Not America.
No.
Not America.
But not that America's not going to be in on it. We're not saying that America is possibly one of those 10 horns.
Well, you know, we don't know. Right.
Our mm-hmm. goal here is not to go into every
detail. We can't do that.
Here of these different things that John sees that God explains. But no, this is not America. It is Babylon. And this is and Israel is going to become wealthy. But we know that what happens is, and of course the man of lawlessness is going to be the head of this conglomerate, but there's going to eventually be a turning of the tide in the middle of the last heptad, 3.5 years. The man of lawlessness is going to turn against Israel, and all the nations are going to be gathered to war against her, mainly because she is going to own the securities of the debt. She's going to own everything. And the only way the nations could possibly pay back what they owe to Israel is to wipe her out. That eliminate the debt real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, the so-called Battle of Armageddon.
And all this comes into the issue of finances, wealth. Before these days, what control? Who were the strongest?
Whoever had the biggest toys.
Biggest armies.
That's right.
And the biggest weapons. But there's coming a time where wealth is going to mix with the armed forces, according to Daniel.
Yep.
And what's going to control the era of the end is wealth. Wealth has become the overriding factor in everything now. Wealth rules. And so that's what's going to be taking place at the end. That's why we're going to have this luxurious city, as you pointed out. We're going to see apostate Israel with it. And
the rest of the world bows down to wealth. It's so sick today. You can't even run for president unless you're uber wealthy.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with virtue or anything.
Nothing to do with virtue. Has there ever been a time in history, you're a man of history, when wealth has ruled so many things? Like we said before, it was big guns or big elephants or big horses.
Who destroyed Rome? Was it a wealthy? Who were the invaders? Wasn't the wealthy.
No, it was a big army.
There was fierce tribes in our So the today wealth controls, and this has just taken place within the last number of years. And we've talked about this before without getting into political, but the whole rising of central banking, central banking system, all that
Federal Reserve.
You could not have all this stuff in the era of the end without the rise of a central bank and a money system that's based on credit.
Wow.
And so that's why silver and gold is, you know, people always will go back to silver and gold, so-called honest money and all this other stuff. It won't happen. Because for God to bring things to where he's going to fulfill the scriptures of the prophets. It's going to require this kind of financing.
And this has never happened before,
no.
What we're seeing today in the history of the world.
No, it's never happened before.
This is a huge sign that we're in the end days right now. They're talking about a global currency. In my estimation, as soon as you have a global currency, you have a one-world government.
Yeah.
Because you control all the money. And it doesn't have to be a vast number of people. Like you said, back in the old days, the biggest army wins. Nowadays, if it's all dependent on centralized money, it doesn't take a large group of people to control that money.
Think about this. And it says here in Revelation 13:16, and speaking of this beast here, the wild beast, and it is causing all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free and the slaves that they may be giving them an emblem on their right hand or on their forehand, and that no one may be able to buy or sell except the one having the emblem of the wild beast or its name or the number of its name. No currency will exist that time. There will be no paper or coin money.
Wow.
And you cannot do that without some kind of electronic system of credit in place. And somebody's got to control that.
Well, the systems are in place. Now it just takes somebody to control it. I think somebody already is controlling it.
Yeah.
I think there right now is a small conglomerate, a small enterprise that's controlling most of the money. George Soros, he's the guy that can manipulate currencies and bankrupt people. And
so the precedent's there.
There's one guy who's actually broke the Bank of England because he finagled with the currency. I don't understand all that, how he did it. But all I know is one guy without a gun brought down a currency, and he controlled it, and now he has tons of money, and he's part of what is financing the one world government.
Are you sure you're not talking about Mr. Potter?
Oh, yeah, from It's a Wonderful Life.
It's Pottersville.
Wonderful.
Mr. Potter?
Pottersville. That's right, Pottersville. It's a Wonderful Life.
We can't get into much more details. This has been great going through the secrets of God, all 12 of them. We've covered all 12.
We covered all 12 of the secrets in 3 measly weeks, and we don't know where else this is happening where you're going to hear this truth. So we thank you for your support. We thank you for your continued prayers. Thank you for your love. And I want to thank you, Dan. It's great sitting across a microphone from you. There's nobody I'd rather do that with.
In this gorgeous place in Dearborn, Michigan.
That's right. And we are awaiting a Savior. That's what we're awaiting, a Savior. And we'll know all. We will have the mind of Christ, and there's nothing we won't.
We're not looking for signs. We're waiting for the sun. We're not moved by how governments move or what laws are passed, what the economic winds are or the political winds. We're looking for a Savior. We live looking for that happy expectation. We're waiting for the sun, and we're strangers on this earth looking for that time, and it could be any day. We'll be snatched away together with Him. And so until then, we live with that expectation. We rejoice in it. We seek to herald our evangel of grace while the day is still here, looking for that day. That's what we got to look forward to.
This has been Martin Zender and Dan Sheridan signing off from Dearborn, Michigan.